Our gospel this Sunday comes to us from the fourth chapter of the gospel according to Mark. Glory to you, O Lord. Well, Jesus, you know, we've been hearing some teachings from Jesus, and it talks about him standing on the seashore. Actually, the crowd was on the seashore. He was on a boat. And now, he's not on just on a boat. He's on a cruise with a skipper and Gilligan, Marianne. Oh, not that group. But they're out on the waves, and things get a little rough. Jesus said, on that day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The gospel of our Lord. Praise you, O Christ. Please be seated. Now, as I mentioned, you know, there's all these storms that have been happening. I mean, the, you know, flooding in northwest Iowa and places like that. Just really, really rough weather that's impacting a lot of people. Not too far from Argyle, where that one church got blown down. There's one of those wonderfully named towns that we have across the United States. Embarrass. Any of you have ever heard of Embarrass, Wisconsin? It exists. It's a real town. Do you know that for a long time there, they used to print coins there? But they had to close it because they didn't want it to be known as the embarrassment of Wisconsin. Or someone tried to make candies there, but no one would buy embarrassments. Yeah. All right, I'll stop there. For those of you, I'm sure many of you have had this problem when you can't find the clicker for the TV, the cable, you know, you're looking around, you're tearing the place apart, and you're feeling awful because where the blazes did you put it? Just always check in a remote location. Now, a friend of mine, he recently had his birthday. He's my best friend, and, you know, there's something oddly appropriate about this man, that he was born on the 13th, and it was a Friday. He works in, you know, maintenance and all this kind of stuff, and he tells me that the only way to move certain lug nuts and other things off of, like, boilers and stuff that he does repair on is using certain words. So I decided to get him an alarm clock that, instead of beeping, would swear at him. It's a way to have a rude awakening. He'd actually get a kick out of it, to be honest. He's like, "Well, something else is swearing at me other than my girlfriend, you know?" But we've all had rude awakenings, haven't we? Just imagine this one. You're sleeping comfortably, rocking along, and then all of a sudden people wake you up and go, "Aren't you afraid we're going to die?" That might be a little rude. Now, some of you think just anyone waking you up is rude. Uh-huh. We let mommy sleep. Sleepy mommy's happy mommy. Yeah. But there's Jesus. And he's just... Oh, wow. Well, just I want to tell you a little story before I get too far. 26, almost 27 years ago, this momentous earth-shaking event happened on Guam. He was born. It wasn't quite a rude awakening, even though Jenny did have to wake me up, say, time to go. It wasn't a rude awakening, but that was almost 27 years ago. 2 months later, almost to the date, another arrival hit the island. In this case, it was a real hit. It was Typhoon Paca, which was the strongest typhoon Guam had faced for a couple of decades. 150-mile-an-hour sustained winds, all this kind of fun stuff. Now, one of the things, though, that we got to understand is Guam, unlike other places, actually expects these kinds of things and plans accordingly. So your houses are little concrete bunkers. Steel-reinforced concrete bunkers. No, you do not take a skill saw and cut a hole in the drywall to run some new wiring. You break out the jackhammer, okay? Or you put it in before you pour the walls. It's unlike Florida where, you know, a hurricane comes and they have to build a whole new house. On Guam, this happens. And at this point in time, we're living with my folks. And we're all there huddled down. We put the plywood in the windows and everything else like that. It got a little dicey when we had to push the refrigerator in front of the big sliding glass doors because the wind was causing them to bow like this. It was intense. And through this entire time, about 24 hours of sustained winds, because Paca just kind of hit and kind of like, ooh, we like Guam, we'll stay here. He slept, for the most part. The picture you have here is about shortly after he was born. So a little bit, you know, like a couple weeks after that picture was taken is when this is going on. And we played past the kid. But he slept for most of it, to show you how exhausting it was for him to be that cute. He would sleep through this whole thing. When Jenny was pregnant, she was very, very warm, and Guam is very, very warm, and all the windows are slides like this. So to put a window unit in our bedroom, we had to build a frame, mount the window unit into it, and so you had this plywood frame and the other half of the window and this window unit in it. Big surprise, in the middle of the hurricane and the typhoon, this gets blown in. Who's asleep while it gets blown in? Him. Who's still sleeping while his grandfather and his father are using choice words, trying to shove this back into place and pounding even more nails and boards in to hold it even tighter? Him. It was just so exhausting being cute, I guess. But maybe he just knew he was okay. I mean, after all, he knew he was loved, he was cared for, you know, when he was hungry, we fed him, when he was, you know, he needed to be cleaned, we cleaned him, and we were playing past the kid. He knew he was cared for. He knew he was fine. You know, there's been some research done on children who were left in orphanages as very, very young children. I mean, we're talking infants, in places that were overwhelmed and understaffed. And it's been shown that children in those circumstances have a real difficulty with faith later in life. Because when somewhere in their brain, it seems that when, you know, remember, a small child's visual acuity is only so far. They can only see so much, they can only hear so much for a while. As that all goes on, come here, Luca. Speaking of that, come here. Come here. You want up. We're talking about little kids. All right. I have my other prop here. Are we happier now? He's not sure. Oh, wait a minute. I'm checking out the crowd. But as I was saying, you know, if when these little ones were literally crying out into the darkness, because they were hungry, they were scared, whatever, and there was no comfort, no response, that faith was a little difficult. Yeah. Because when you're going, hey, hey, and nothing happens, that does something to us. And it does something to us regardless of our age. Now, here's these disciples. And they're on this boat. Now, to be honest, these boats were not built for ocean going. This is the Sea of Galilee. But you could get some serious waves on it depending on which direction the wind goes. And they got some. And there was a reaction. And they go to Jesus, who's asleep. And they're freaking out. Don't you care we're perishing? That's not a good thing, is it? Now, here's the thing, though. You know, for all of our vaunted freedom of speech in the United States, there are rules. You can't yell fire in a crowded theater and similar things. Why? Because what happens when you do something like that? People panic. And for whatever reason, panicky people lose their minds. It's not pretty. We've talked, you know, we've all heard about fight, flight, or sometimes freeze, the reptilian part of our brain when we get really, really scared. And that's how we react, which is not helpful when you're trying to figure out how to open a door or to be calm and rational as you file out of a crowded theater. Now, fight, flight, or freeze is a little odd of a reaction if you're sitting on a boat. Where are you going to go? And just standing there going, oh, it isn't helpful either. But maybe they then decided to fight. Who'd they pick on? The one guy who's not joined in on the crazy. You know, for all the fear, because we know fear and anxiety can be contagious. And it feeds. And so they go to the one guy who's asleep. And you can tell that they're using this part of their brain, definitely not this, because at no point did they stop and ask the question, gee, he seems to be fine. Is he just not aware? And they go and wake him up. Talk about a rude awakening. One, to be woken up. Two, to wake up and put your feet down and go sploosh. But notice that Jesus didn't freak out. He didn't freak out. Peace, be still. Notice, that wasn't to the guys. That was to the wind and the waves. And then he turned to them. Why are you afraid? Why are you afraid? Because we may be familiar with this part of our brain, the reptilian brain, but do how many of us realize there's actually a middle brain, the midbrain, called the mammalian brain, where a lot of our emotionality runs? And we sometimes get stuck in our emotions. And Jesus understands all of that. He looks at us and he's dealing with the situation in order. Notice that he didn't start out with shaming them or otherwise giving them grief about the fact that, what did you do waking me up? What the heck's wrong with you guys? Can't you see him sleeping here? Come on. What's up with you? He didn't go that. He looked at them and he didn't even look at them. He looked out of the waves and went, peace, be still. And it was. He dealt with the issue first. When we're cranky and we're upset and we're hungry, it doesn't help to get on our case about the fact that we're cranky and upset and not do anything about the hunger. Notice that when Jesus faced the thousands who were hungry, he just fed them. That's where he started. It's a lot easier that way, isn't it? Happy bellies, happy people. You deal with the issue. You address the concern. You put out the fire. And then you work with the emotion. And you go from there. And you work it through, because our understanding of faith is something that's here, but it's also here. It's a part of what we feel, but it's more than what we feel. It's also what we know. We trust. But that comes with some practice. That comes from people caring and showing us love and grace and peace. It comes from seeing how that there's what happens when we listen and follow to the guy who can command the wind and the waves, and they obey him. And what we can do from there. How we can show others that you don't have to panic. You don't have to get overly wrapped up in, oh my God, what's going to happen? Mom, help me. But instead you understand the fact that peace be with you. That the one who can command the wind and the waves, it's also the one that came and showed you love. And that we're called to do that. That we're called to address the issue. not just the anxiety, not just the freak out, but to show them a reason that they are loved, that they are cared. Right? When they're having a fit and going up, mommy, no, I want to get over there. Well, we find a way to get over here. And when we're hungry, we find something to eat. And when we face people who need food, we give them food. We give comfort. We give shelter. Now, the letter of James talks about a time when we show faith. You show me your faith apart from works, and I by my works will show you faith. And he talks about how people came to the church and they were hungry and naked, and the people said, well, go, eat your fill, keep warm, God be with you, and did nothing. What good is that? You by your faith, you without works, show me your faith. I will show you my faith through my works. As James then pointedly says, faith without works is dead. But how will people know? When we cry out, is there comfort? When we hunger, is there food? When we thirst, is there water? Is there a manna bag to be given? Is there a smile to be shared? Is there time to be given? Is there love to be shown? And yes, even the winds and waves obey the gift of peace, so that we may know love and may we show love. And remember that God loves you, and may we show it. And so do I. Amen.